Muchas gracias, misionero Miguel López Marín. Que Dios te siga bendiciendo grandemente. Para mí es una bendición.
Thank you very much, missionary Miguel Bermúdez Marín. May God continue to bless you greatly. It is a blessing and a privilege for me to be here with you and with my wife in Honduras, and also with your wife and all those who are with us. It is a privilege, Miguel, to have you here in Honduras. May God continue to bless you greatly and continue to use you mightily in the work of God at this end time. And may He always keep you strong and healthy until the transformation of each and every one of us together with you. It is truly a blessing and privilege to be able to be here in Honduras, Central America, and, yes, granted, Miguel, and to share with you on this occasion, today, Friday, March 14th of this year, 2025, and everyone who are here from different parts of Honduras, and also from Guatemala, El Salvador, Nicaragua, Costa Rica, Panama, and visiting us from other places in Central America, as well as Colombia, Mexico, Venezuela, and all the different places that are represented here in you. And everyone connected through the satellite Amazonas and the satellite Eutelsat 8 on this occasion. I feel very happy to be here in Honduras, a beautiful and very kind people. And above all, believers in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. Believers in the seventh seal. In other words, Honduras has representation of the church bride. In Honduras, they are sons and daughters of God who will be transformed and whom will be raptured. And they are there raising their hands because we identify ourselves as those elect of God who at the end time would be receiving the promises corresponding to the dispensation of the kingdom, which were promised for a people of God to receive them. And those people are here in Honduras. And may God bless those who could not get here, but are also identified with the message, with the third pool. For this occasion, we have the subject, it will be according to the divine vision. He preached this message on December 31st, 2015. Then he preached it again. This would be like the introduction. He preached it again on Sunday, which we will also have this subject for this coming Sunday in El Salvador. Let us read in Exodus on chapter 25, which is the scripture that he read to us there, verse 1 and on, where he tells us, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, that they bring me an offering, of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart. Ye shall take my offering. And this is the offering which ye shall take of them, gold and silver and brass and blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen and goat's hair and ram's skin dyed red and badger's skins and cheating wood, oil for the light, spices for anointing oil, and for sweet incense, onyx stones, and stones to be set in the ephod, and in the breastplate. And let them make a sanctuary, that I may dwell among them. There he draws Star of David to the right. According to all that I shew thee, after the pattern of the tabernacle, and the pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so shall ye make it. It will be according to the divine vision. You may please be seated. It tells us in the message, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, ye have no life in you. Preached by Dr. William Soto Santiago on Saturday, November 2nd, or rather Saturday, November 22nd, 2014. Saturday, November 22nd, 2014, in Cali, Colombia, he tells us. Now, he says he will hand the sword to somebody else. He is speaking about Brother Branham when he told us in the Book of the Seals, in the prayer of the seventh seal, where he shows us that he asked God to hand that sword to another one. Now, in a writing, he left us a place for us there in which he writes, the sword equals the pillar of fire. The sword is also the word. There are also places where he writes sword, the word. But in this one we read now, the sword equals the pillar of fire. In the Book of the Seals, on page 66, our brother Branham tells us, there is where he also tells us about that part of the sword, where later on the book, on this same Book of the Seals, in the seventh seal as well, there he also tells us about it. But here, starting here with the breach, after he preached God in simplicity, on page 66 he says, how many in here had read What Time Is It, Sirs? Or has heard it? You know, What Time Is It, Sirs? That's bothered me quite a bit. If you haven't, I wish some way, if you could get to hear it, or some way. Kind of bothers me. I just wanted to drop this before starting the service. About a week or 10 days ago, I was so disturbed. I just didn't know. I wouldn't take services or anything, because I didn't know it. It seemed like it could be something that was bad, and I didn't know just what it was. So, one early morning I got up to go up into Sabino Canyon, which from the house is only about 30 minutes drive, or 40, to the head of the Sabino Canyon. Then there is a road that runs 30 miles up into the mountain. Strange country up there. I can't be here on the desert where it's 80 and 90 right now, and in 30 minutes be in 8 foot of snow, see, on top of the mountain. That is, the temperature changes a lot there. We was in Phoenix just recently, where it was 20-something, 28 degrees. They had the swimming pool heated and people swimming. And about 40 minutes drive from there, it was 40 below zero at Flagstaff. See? That's the difference from the up currents and the desert. And very healthy for asthmatics and so forth. and there he draws to the right a Star of David. But now, I went up in the canyon, and I climbed way as high as I could go. And I asked the Lord, while sitting up in there, what all this meant, and so forth. I was kind of bothered and didn't know just what to do. And so while I was praying, strange thing happened. I want to be honest. Now, I could have fallen asleep. It could have been like a trance, or it could have been a vision. I'm more or less inclined to believe that it was a vision, that I had my hands out saying, Lord, what does this blast mean? And what does these seven angels in the constellation of the pyramid picking me up from off the ground and turning eastward? There he writes, vision thunders to the left. What does it mean? There he also writes, angel to the left. I was standing there in prayer and something happened. And now something fell in my hand. And I know if you don't understand spiritual things, it may seem very strange. We already see that the sword is the pillar of fire. The sword is the word. That's why he says, if you're not spiritual, it may seem very strange. But something struck in my hand, and when I looked, it was a sword. And the handle was made of pearl, the prettiest pearl I ever seen. And the guard, you know, I guess it's to keep your hands from being lanced, you know, while the people were dueling, was gold. In other words, that part there that protects the hand was of gold. And the saber's blade wasn't too long, but it was just razor sharp. And it was glistening silver. Now remember when we read the place where he wrote about two edge. It was the prettiest thing I ever seen, and just fit my hand exactly. And to the left, he writes, the sword. And I was holding it. I said, isn't that pretty? I looked at it, and I thought, but you know, always afraid of a sword. I was kind of glad that I lived out of the days that they used them, because I'm afraid of knife. So I thought, what would I do with that? And while holding it in my hand, a voice from somewhere said, that is the king's sword. Where is it? Does it say instant in season? He says, I don't know if it's to Jeremiah or to Ezekiel. Where is it, Miguel? It says instant in season. He talks about the word there. If you find it there, to quote that scripture. Because notice, he asked the Lord, what would I do with that? That is, with the word. That happened before. In this message, is this the sign of the answer? That had already happened in those days. Is this the sign of the answer? Was on December 31st of 62. Afterwards, he was going to open the seals, and he already knew. It was Timothy? He should also be in... would be in the one of word of the Lord came to me. In the rod of almond there. I think it's around there. I might have confused those two scriptures, but they go together. Let's take a look to the one on 2 Timothy. Verse 4. That's the one, yes. I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. That's what he sent me to do. Notice, the forerunner, when he says, what would I do with that? Because the word comes to each messenger. It's the messenger that he has for each time, for each age and each dispensation. And what does one do with the word that one receives from God? Speak it. It's not meant to be left there, but to speak it. Because there, everything is in that word. It is a word that creates. Therefore, by being a creative word, everything that is spoken by that word will bring forth that which was spoken. Nothing and no one can prevent the accomplishment of what that word, upon being spoken, has in and for its fulfillment. That is why, in the teaching under the tent, everything that the church bride needs for her transformation is there. And no one can prevent an elect of God who is receiving the rapturing faith in this third pool from being transformed. No one. Not your father, mother, your friend, siblings, no one. You are an elect of God. And by you being predestinated by God to receive that teaching, and by you receiving it, you cannot do anything to prevent you from being transformed. Not even yourself. There is no way. There is no way at all. Look, one case. Let us use Jonah's case. He tried to not go there. But notice, he was sent there in a big submarine. And it wasn't very comfortable with that whole mess in that stomach. And for sure, the amount of fish that that whale had already eaten. And he was stuck in there. No one could stop him from going there. And that's how it is with everything. An elect of God who is predestinated to receive the blessings, even though you go through struggles or trials, even if you go through whatever situation you have to go through, God is faithful to fulfill with you what he promised to you. Notice, at the end, Job received more than what he had lost. He was seemingly left with nothing. It was to the extent that he had to lay upon fire due to the illness that he had on the skin. But even so, he glorified God. In other words, God's elect glorify God and gives thanks to God for everything he gives, in good times and in bad times as well. Never stop loving God. Don't even let the thought cross your mind. I'm going through this, Lord, help me. Give me strength. Give me courage to continue moving forward. Now he goes on to say on page 67, and then he left me. Well, I wonder what it meant. On 67, I believe I stopped there. And while holding in my hand, a voice from somewhere said, "That is the king's sword." And then it left me. Well, I wonder what it meant. That is the king's sword. And I thought, if it would have said a king's sword, it might have been that I would have understood it. But it said, the king's sword. So I may not have this right, but I thought, there is only one, the king, that's God. And his sword is this, sharper than a two-edged sword, see? And ye abide in me, and my words, see? And I thought, and there to the right, he writes, the king's sword. In dueling, you see, I don't understand one word of it, but, or one principle of dueling. But the best of my understanding, the knife strikes across, and then finally, the swords, if they lock, the enemy and you lock the sword like this, then it takes the strength of the man dueling. Because see, his sword would be pointed to my heart and mine to his. But they're locked, our knives strike in each other, and then they strike, and then the swords come together. And the one that can shove the other one down, the sword is straight to the heart. So, even though the sword be the word, it takes the hand of strong faith to hold it there, to bring it to the heart of the enemy. And on the right side he writes sword. And on the left he writes Revelation 17, 14, 19, 11 to 21. Now you can have the message. But if you don't have that mighty hand of faith, you won't be able to overcome the enemy. Here I am seeing a people who has that mighty hand of faith. And in each place that is receiving the teaching under the tent. That is what then he spoke to us in the fourth seal when he said, when that group, and he writes, the elect, Moses and Elijah and the elect, can place the word right, there stands the people with that mighty hand of faith, holding on tight to that sword to place it well. Now notice also on the book of quotations, on page 18, paragraph 142 says, and I thought about that, and a voice come to me said, them man is all right if they're doing that. But I never called you to do that. I called you to take the sword and stand there like Joshua and challenge. That about Joshua, notice, he goes and shows him the scripture. That is in Joshua 5. Joshua 5, verse 13 says, and it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with the sword drawn in his hand. In other words, it wasn't in the sheath. Rather, he had it outside. And Joshua went into him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord I am now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship. It was none other than the angel of the covenant, Christ, in his heavenly body, which then became flesh, and said unto him, What saith my Lord unto his servant? See, he called him Lord. And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, Loose thy shoe from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. Now notice, just as he said to take his shoes off to whom? To Moses. He also told Joshua the same thing. And Joshua represents the final leader, the Holy Spirit. And notice, one brought the people out from Egypt, and we see that before bringing them out, he had an experience with God, and he commanded him to take off his shoes. And the one who brings them into the promised land also. That is something very important. Now notice. He continues to say, I called you to take the sword and stand there like Joshua and challenge, brother. Not fool around with some old society or some church organization, but challenge the devil. In other words, the instrument in each age or in each dispensation is not to be fooling around, to be pleasing anybody, but rather, he is being directed by the Holy Spirit. Not fool around with some old society or some church organization, but challenge the devil. Stand in the forefront, make right right and wrong wrong. Preach the word and find out who has got the faith to believe it. Lay her out there. Now notice how beautiful when a messenger speaks the word, preaches the word, and realizes who has that faith to believe it. Here I have seen a people in whom that word rests in their heart because they believe it. That word falls on good ground and it produces that change from within. Now notice at what our brother William goes on to say here in this message that we started reading at the beginning. Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. He says, now, he says he will hand the sword to somebody else. He will hand it to somebody else just as it went from St. Paul to the second messenger, from the second messenger to the third, from the third to the fourth, from the fourth to the fifth, from the fifth to the sixth, from the sixth to the seventh. And from the seventh, it will pass on to the one that has to carry out the work which is related to the construction and functions of the great tent cathedral. In other words, he's going to build it and he's going to put it in operation. And he has built it and he is putting it in operation. In other words, he's making it work. He's making it to function. Who will be the messenger? Because the seven are gone. Our brother William left. God took him. Well, there must be one who puts her to work. A ministry in the midst of the church. Now notice. He says, and there, and from the seventh it will go to the one who is given the work pertaining to the construction and functions of the great tent cathedral. the sword of the king, the word, will be there. We already identified where the sword is. We already identified the instrument where the sword is. As simple as that. Notice the facts that he told us there. In other words, he was already identifying that ministry and what that ministry would be doing. On page 145, on the Book of Quotations, paragraph 1293, he tells us, I saw seven angels come. Didn't Life magazine pack it? As the fog of it floated across here, 27 miles high and 30 miles across? Is not Fred Sutman, this other, Gene Norman, them, sitting back there, stood right there when them seven angels appeared right there on the hill? I'm in this version. Perhaps yours changed a little bit there. There at the top on that paragraph he writes, the seven angels that appeared to WMB, in other words, William Marion Branham. It shook the hills 4 miles around like that. There stood seven angels. And throw a silver sword in your hand. And the other translation in Spanish, it says a drawn sword. In that one. But here, we have to hear the audio to see how he, because it says here, and throw the silver sword in your hand, said, go home and open these seven seals that are given. And here they are, the true mystery of marriage and divorce, and the serpent's seed, and all of these things that's been fussed about. And there he writes. To the left, upward, he writes, the silver sword of the angel, the king's sword. The silver sword of the angel, the king's sword. And above, where he also wrote, above that paragraph, the seven angels that appeared to WMB, that is William Aaron Branham, there on top he writes, with a silver sword in his hands. Now notice in the Bible study, they placed this paragraph, and there he wrote, silver sword in the hand is the third pool. In other words, that the angel different from the rest is automatically there, because it is the third pool. He writes, silver sword in the hand is the third pool. And the third pool is the word. And the word, wherever it is what? Veiled. Now notice, also on page 155, from paragraph 1384, he tells us, and I looked around and I thought, what's that? I'm not beside myself. Here is that sword in my hand, bright, shiny, glistening in the sun. And notice there to the right he draw a pyramid, and he circles the pyramid and puts many flashes of light. So it is in the age of the cornerstone where that sword is, and the sword, which is the word, lights the way to us. I said, now there's not people in miles of me, way up here in this canyon. Where would that come from? I heard a voice said, that's the king's sword. I said, here he's retelling what happened, which we saw there in the seals. This was from the message, what is the attraction on the mountain, which was in 65 in July. The voice came back, said, not a king's sword, but the king's sword. The word of the Lord said, fear not. It's only the third pull. It's the vindication of your ministry. There on top he writes, the sword equals third pull. It is the word with the sun, S-U-N. The word equals third pull. It is the word with the sun. And to the left, upward, he writes, the king's sword. And at the bottom, upward, he also writes, the word. The king's sword, the word. Now, our brother William goes on to say, the sword of the king, the word will be there, and therefore, the Holy Spirit will be there. And the sword of the Spirit is what? The word. Because the sword of the Spirit is the word of God. In the Book of the Seals, on page 558, is where he told us, which I mentioned to you a few minutes ago on that sentence. Notice, it says on page 558, says, I know my days can't be too many more, and I pray that you'll help me to let me be true, Lord, and honest and sincere. Let us read a little before that, because notice what he asked for there, which reminds us of the message, Christ is the mystery of God revealed. But later on, they placed words to the bride. But notice how here in this prayer, just a bit before, he says, and I pray that you'll keep the power of Satan away from them to discourage them, or to try to make them make cults. He knew that a time would come when that was going to happen. He wrote to us that independent groups are, the word he used, was it dangerous? They are worse. Worse than the denominations themselves. Independent groups. Independent to what? To the message. In other words, since they have a certain knowledge, but by they having it intellectually, they cause a lot of problems. That has been the case throughout all the ages. Notice, in the time of Moses, even that group that God liberated through him gave him so many headaches. In other words, they wanted to put themselves in Moses' position. At this end time, God only has one voice and one leader, as he has always had. And I pray that they'll be healed immediately. And I pray that you'll keep the power of Satan away from them to discourage them or to try to make them make cults. Or just keep all the powers of the enemy away, Lord. Sanctify us through thy word. Grant it, Lord. Then, Lord, I pray that you help me. I'm beginning to fade away, Lord. I know my days can't be too many more. And I pray that you help me to let me be true, Lord, and honest and sincere. that I might be able to bear the message as far as it's ordained for me to bear. May God help us as well to be sincere, to be honest, and to be true, to carry your word, O God, until the end, to carry it until my transformation. Help me, Father, to be sincere, honest, and true. I know that you, Lord, can work in me so that you fulfill that word in me. My desire, Lord, is to be honest with you, to be sincere with you, and to be true to you, because that is what pleases you, Lord. I desire it, Father. Help me in this hour. I want to carry this word. I want to carry the sword to the end of my journey, which is my transformation. It's not hard to ask for that, Father, because it is a promise that you, Lord, I am sure, will fulfill it in me. And one asks for it, and he is faithful to fulfill that. Why? Because we are asking according to God's perfect will. We are asking to honor him. May we be red epistles, as Paul said, before the world. Shake this world. Now, how is he going to shake it? By filling those honest, sincere, and true vessels. He cannot do it with any other group which has word, which has actions, or which has things that dishonor the word, the message, or the messenger, whether of this time or from past times. A person who speaks with his tongue or says things or acts or writes things that are against the divine language and which are blasphemies and things like that against the divine program, that is not a vessel to be filled by the Holy Spirit. He's not going to pour himself there. He's not going to set himself out there. Now, if there is a cleansing of that sanctuary, in other words, you as a temple of God, God helps you. He takes away everything that doesn't please him. And soon, he will completely pour out himself into you. We are aware that we are in these bodies. We are not perfect yet. But he will make us perfect. He is helping us and will continue to help us. But notice, with a prayer as sincere as the one he made, you can say it to God all the time and as often as you wish. Say it. You can never pray too much. He says, to let me be true, Lord, and honest and sincere, that I might be able to bear the message as far as it's ordained for me to bear. And when it comes to the time that I must lay down and I get down to the river and the waves begin to come in, here on top of the river, he writes Revelation 19, 11 to 21. Remember in the quote where he said, a valley, a river. There he wrote, the valley, the river, where he was transported to in order to see that great 10th cathedral. He saw it in a vision. We, those who have gone there, have seen it live and in full color, and those who haven't, they have seen it through the television. They have seen the valley, they have seen the river, they have seen the great tent. They have seen a group there, and they have seen a ministry. And they have seen the fulfillment of what was said that would be carried out in that place. In other words, we have been given to be the actors, not of a vision, but of the fulfillment of what he said that that vision would be. What he saw in a vision we can touch ourselves and we say, it will be according to the vision. Like that, like that, like that. That's how it is. Because that is according to the vision. You are according to the vision. Blessed be the Lord. Glory to the Lord. Oh God, may I be able to hand this old sword over to somebody else that'll be honest with it, Lord, and will pack the truth. There on the top, he writes, the word, because the sword is a word. The word to Moses and Elijah, the angel of Jesus. And on the right, he draws a cornerstone and the ages. And on top of the cornerstone, he writes, sword, and an arrow towards the cornerstone. Grant it, Lord, and until then, help me to be strong and healthy, and courageous. Help my church. Bless us together. Help us, Lord. We can say, help us, Lord. Help these people here in Honduras and everywhere throughout Latin America and the Caribbean. Every elect, help us, Lord. Help our brother Miguel Bermudez Marin. Help me. To what? To be strong. To be healthy and courageous. Help my church. Bless us together. Now notice what he wrote to us here. In a writing, may I be able to hand this sword over to somebody else that will pack the truth. May I be able to hand this sword over to somebody else that will pack the truth. And also in a study where they placed the quote 10A, paragraph 99, there he writes, another will come and will continue. He will carry the message. Another one will come and will continue. He will carry the message. Now, our brother William goes on to say here in this message, that is why it is through the word that the things that are promised will take place, which we saw reflected, manifested temporarily in the Reverend William Branham, who spoke the word and things would happen. And things took place. He spoke that at the beginning of a paragraph here, on page 119, when he said that what you've seen partially, that is under the ministry of the fourth Elijah. Page 119. Paragraph 1057 says, and that is the thing that we've looked forward to for so long, for at least many years, 4 or 5 years or maybe longer. The third pull has now been vindicated. And I'm sure you all know what it is. Now remember, there'll never be an impersonation of that, because it can't be. See, it cannot be. Now it's inexistent. And I am warned of this, that soon. Right at this time now, it's just happened. So I could identify its presence among you, see? But it will not be used in a great way until this council begins to tighten up. And when it does, when that does, the Pentecostals and so forth can almost impersonate anything that can be done. But when that time comes, when the squeeze comes down, then you see what you've seen temporarily. At the bottom there, he writes, Fourth Elijah, be manifested in the fullness of its power. And he writes there on the corner at the bottom, 50 Elijah. Now notice that all of that would be carried out when he would come to the most holy place. Because in our brother Branham's time, they were living in the holy place. Now notice on this message, Here they put the inner veil. But it is, why are people so tossed about? This was in January 1st, 1956. He tells us here, on page 14, he says, we can walk in the presence of God and be hid from the things of this world. You don't hear them no more. It's soundproof. In other words, where we are inside, it's soundproof. On Mount Transfiguration, there at the top, they did not hear what was happening down below. One had to go down. They had to go down to know. So up there, none of that bothered them, hindered them, for God to be manifested there, a type and figure of this end time. No one will prevent us from receiving the order of His coming with Moses and Elijah. Hallelujah. Soundproof. The world is on the outside gasping and looking, but you're on the inside in the presence of the eternal everlasting God, eating from this manna that will last for a span of years, hundreds of years. It never contaminated, neither did it give out. He saw a lot of bread. Notice, when we read the messages of the forerunner, the messages of our brother William, how all the scriptures come together and come into place. And God shows us the whole meaning of that. Because by living in the reality, you can see and understand this word. Because you see the action of that word. And the action is here, on earth. The action of the seventh seal is here on earth. And a man that once walked into God, and the veil drops behind him, shutting off the things of the world, he is in the presence of God, eating the manna. That is what he says there on page 134. To overcome is, let us see. To overcome the Antichrist is to overcome page 134. Halfway down the page, we all know as Christians that God swore to David that he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne and give him an everlasting kingdom here on earth. He did it. And Jesus said, he that overcomes the Antichrist and all the things of the world shall sit with me on my throne, as I have overcome and have sit down on my Father's throne. See? Now, he comes forth to call his subjects. How is he going to claim them? He's already got the book of redemption in his hand. And that is a reality already. The claiming work is already being carried out. Now he goes on to say, he makes a couple of writings there. You already have that page. He says, no wonder. He goes on to say on this page 11, no wonder 12 o'clock, 9 o'clock, later or anything, he is living in the presence of the King. He drew a cornerstone in the ages. Amen. No wonder every day is fine for him. He knows where he is at. He has found a secret place. He has went behind the veil. The doors is closed behind him. He don't see nothing of the world. Them doors was made soundproof by sheepskin and goatskin. And this is made soundproof by the baptism of the Holy Spirit that hides a man in Christ. And there he becomes a new creature. And he walks daily before him in this manner. And to the left, he draws a Star of David. And he writes, the transformation. What a beautiful picture of the believer in the presence of God. All things are his then. All things was given to Christ. All that God was, he poured it into Christ. All Christ was, poured it into the church. That day you'll know that I am in the Father, Father in me, and I in you. Now notice this morning. There we said something, because notice that the same thing that happened with the angel when he was leaving, he said, let me go, for the day is breaking. Notice how that will also be fulfilled in the church. That is something great. Because each elect of God will have in him the fullness of the word. Therefore, as they are transformed, notice, there will come a time when that will also be fulfilled in each elect of God. He continues to say, oh, the privilege that the believer has, if they only could accept it. You say, Brother Branham, you've got a picture here under consideration. But how do you get to it? That's the next thing. How do we get into there, Brother Branham? Here is the way they come in the pattern. Oh, I'm a Christian, Brother Branham. I have been saved. I've been baptized. I enjoy the blessing of God. You're in the outer court. But say, day I have my ups and downs, my worries, my toss, my troubles. I wish I could live a victorious life. Well, you've got to get out of that court. You've got to come in. And there he writes, to the most holy place. It's not enough to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit in the holy place, in the outer court. And there is where algebra, trigonometry, and all that comes in. You then leave from your ABCs to something superior. And he said that the thunders are algebra. Look in the book of quotations that's written. Algebra, the thunders. God has formed at the same time through the word. He has formed students unlike any who have ever set foot on this planet Earth. He has made from this group of sons and daughters of God, elects of God, who are predestinated to come at this time. He has made them with a superior wisdom that has never existed on this Earth. It was shown that Enoch heard, received the thunders, and that is why he was raptured. What do you think will happen to you? The very same thing that happened to Enoch. On quote 83, let us search there on page 83, paragraph 707. Notice the end time messenger. His job will be to get the saints ready, the bride ready for the bridegroom. That will be his message. Now you want to learn ABCs so you can study algebra later? When these other seals on the back is open, they'll only be revealed to them. And he writes to the right, the thunders. And at the bottom he writes, algebra equals the thunders. And on top he writes, the fourth Elijah prepares the people for the bridegroom, Christ. In other words, the anointed one. Because Christ, Messiah, anointed one is the same thing. In other words, the one forerun or foreshadowed. Prepares the people for the bridegroom, Christ, to learn algebra, which the bridegroom and thereafter will teach her. The fourth Elijah prepares the people for the bridegroom, Christ, to learn algebra, which the bridegroom will teach her. Notice, because it's the teaching under the tent. The thunders, the trumpets, the vials, the plagues, and so on. And everything in a simple way. Now, he continues saying, now, what was the first thing? The courts represented justification. And he writes, Luther, outside there was where the people come in, all Israel. No other but a circumcised Israelite could come into those courts. They would defile them. Do you remember when Paul brought Timothy to the temple and said, they polluted this holy place by bringing a Gentile in? In the courts, they must be absolutely justified people. Regenerated men and women who has accepted God and got eternal life dwelling in them. They must be that to be in the courts. Then they come to the first altar. And the first altar is where they burnt the sacrifice. And where the Lord met them there in forgiveness of sins. And cleansed them from all of their unrighteousness. And the burning altar, the brazen altar, burnt the beast and the blood from the beast. That was the second court. There to the left, he draws a cornerstone and the ages. Outside the ages, he writes on the bottom, first altar, outer court. I pass on to paragraph 126, and it says, and now, after they left that second court, sanctification, and he writes on top, Wesley, they entered into this consecrated life, entered into the presence of God. And while they were in there, there is where they had all these glorious things. Here is very beautiful type. That in there, anything that come in, lived again. And he draws a cornerstone on the right. Did you ever think of that? They took Aaron's rod and laid Aaron's rod in the presence of this holy place. And when they did, in one night's time, it budded, blossomed, and yielded almonds. In one night's time. Think of it. In the presence of God. This old dead rod, laying there in the presence of God, budded, blossomed, and yielded almonds. In one night. What was it then? What kind of a rod was it? It was an almond tree rod. That's where he had taken it from. That is, they had pulled it off. The stick was of an almond tree, and you are a stick sometime. Now, that stick represents us, and you are a stick. Notice, we were dead in sin. And you will notice, as we go into the most holy place, what happens to you as a stick? You start to bud. You start to bring forth fruit. It is like the tree planted by the rivers of water, whose leaf does not wither. Psalm 1, he says, and which brings forth his fruit in his season. And you are a stick sometime, and you was taken off the branch of humanity, which was God's creative son in the beginning. You may be fallen, dead, alienated from God. But by that, in creation, you were created to be a son of God. Now notice, if by coming into the presence of God, what happened to the sons of Aaron? They fell dead. They went in with strange fire. Now notice that at this end time, when one enters into the presence of God, into the most holy place, the one who enters there with strange fire, the same thing will happen as the sons of Aaron. But who enters into the most holy place with that reverential fear, as he told him that one had to go into that stage with reverential fear, that rod or stick begins to bring forth fruit. It starts to put forth buds. See? There we see both angles. We are before the presence of God in the most holy place. And for some, the presence of God will produce something. It produces in the elect that they put forth buds, that they start to change. When he said the gray hair will go out, the wrinkles will fall away. That is budding. He says, the time will come when we will be changed in a moment, in the blink of an eye, in the twinkling of an eye, and we'll meet our loved ones. Now something must have happened before that total change. Because to be able to look and see those who will resurrect, something must have happened in you. And when from time to time, when he visits the sixth dimension, when he visits them, may God allow us from time to time to visit them. Soon you will be with us there. Everything is possible. Something can be carried out before our transformation. Remember that there, they are waiting for Moses and Elijah. A judgment will be carried out there. Now, how will all that be carried out here on earth? We will be seeing how all of that is and will continue to be carried out. Now notice, he says, you may bounce around and be respected and honored out here in the courts. But if you ever get into that glorious place and hid away with God, you will yield what you're supposed to do. And there he writes, most holy place. He wrote it to the left. Take a dead sinner, alienated from God, without hope, without Christ, and put him in the presence of God. In this great glorious tabernacle in there, he will yield forth the fruit of the Holy Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering. The dead rod budded, for it budded, it had to have refreshment, had to be refreshed. Then after it was refreshed, it brought forth an odor, a perfume, then blossom. Then the next thing it brought forth was fruit. And every Christian comes the same way when he comes into the presence of God. First, he has to be refreshed. The Holy Spirit has to take a hold of a man and renew him and make him another person. The Holy Ghost comes in just in the refreshment. The Holy Spirit comes in the quiet of the hour. In a quiet hour. And there he draws a cornerstone to the left. Now, in a quiet hour, notice, on page 25, on the book of quotations, he tells us, paragraph 210. Two eleven says, and it's been told me some time ago by a vision that the Lord gave me some years ago, I suppose, or maybe a little more. I have it wrote out in a book at home of a changing of a ministry. And then some time ago, I was in a vision and I saw a large tent. It was a mammoth, big affair. And I had just been speaking. In other words, there he's reflecting what he says later on. In other words, if he had just finished speaking, that is because there was preaching. What he is seeing, somebody preaching there. He did not see a video there. He saw a person preaching. He had finished preaching. And many souls were at the altar and were just kind of weeping with their hands up, quietly and softly. Now, the call had been made there. In other words, that is to say, that preacher carried out something there in that activity, which everything was already established. Everything was already being done. And he arrived at one of the activities, which we do not know how many others followed, nor do we know how many others had happened before. Now he said, the Holy Spirit comes quietly. We read here in this message. He doesn't come with commotion, because the Holy Spirit, Brother Branham says, is shy, timid. And he comes in that quiet atmosphere. With their hands up, quietly and softly. And he writes, here is where he writes on the side. It wasn't in the denominational Pentecostal style. Everything was quietly, softly, with much reverence, reverently. In other words, not the way it was done in his time, in the Pentecostal age. In leaves clapped their hands, he said in, when he talked about that age. Now notice, in a message here, which at the time he thought it was all going to take place then, and everything was going to be over by 77. And it was a time when he, in the unedited book of the ages, had placed, and also in the booklet of Revelation chapter 4, part 1 or 2, and Revelation chapter 5, he also wrote, cleansing of the sanctuary, and he had put 74 to 77. It was a time, as far as God was showing him, when that would take place. But notice, all of that was showing what it would be at this end time. And notice, in that time, look at what he told us there. And then one says, but they continue doing it afterwards. But what would happen at this end time was spoken. Notice it says, in the message, the construction of God's tabernacle, the construction of God's tabernacle, preached on September 14, 1975, in Ponce, Puerto Rico. He says, there they put that quote. Let us see it so we can have this other foundation. On page, this is from the message, The Restoration of the Bright Tree, page 68. So you can write down what I just told you. Paragraph 592, where it says, let us see from the top, it says, prophesy, son of man, can these bones live? Wish we had time. I got it wrote down here, but I have to miss that. Prophesy, can these bones live? What's the four stages of Ezekiel dry bones coming forth? But the life only come, not when the sinew skin was on them, but when the wind blowed upon them. That's when come back that fourth message of life. I will restore, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory. Praise be to God. The fourth light is to come. And on top of fourth light, he writes, Moses and Elijah. The fourth light is to come. Then he writes to the right, light, and he draws a cornerstone and the ages, the last three, 1, 2, 3, and the cornerstone, number 4. And he does the same on the left, but on the left he writes, fourth light, a cornerstone, the ages, 1, 2, 3, and 4, the cornerstone. The fourth light is to come. That will bring forth the same signs. Watch. Justification brought back the pulp. Sanctification brought back the bark. Doctrine of holiness. What brought back the leaf? Pentecostals. What is it? Pentecostals, leaves, clap the hands, joy, joycing, Pentecostal. See, that is an example of Pentecostalism from the past age. That is why you will see groups, even of the message of our brother William, with those ways like that. Clapping, see, they are staying behind in Laodicea without they knowing it. Those are the fruits, see, and not the fruits that the church bride in the cornerstone, that rod is producing. Notice everything. Everything has to be fulfilled in reality, not in types, not in shadows. Pentecostals, leaves, clap their hands. What? The fourth was the Word itself, the Word made flesh, fruits of the proof of the resurrection sign that Christ has finally, after justification being planted, sanctification being planted, baptism of the Holy Ghost. Organizations died out, and Christ has again centered himself like that cap of the pyramid. And he draws Star of David on the right. First line, justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost. Then coming of the cap. What is it? That Holy Ghost bunch being honed out so that he can fit with the same kind of ministry he had when he went away, that when he comes back, and he writes in his coming, when he comes back, he'll catch the whole thing in the rapture, where the justified, sanctified, and baptism of the Holy Ghost, that pyramid will stand again. There on page 68 to the right, around there, he again draws the cornerstone and the ages, 1, 2, 3, and 4 on the cornerstone. And on the little corner there, he writes, rapture to the left. And on the right, upward, he writes, the cornerstone. Now, he says in this message that I was going to mention, the construction of God's tabernacle, he says, well, Dr. William Soto says, well, maybe some of the brethren here look and marvels that we don't accompany hymns and songs by clapping. Do you know that you are doing the right thing. Sometimes it slips from us. I have never told you before, but this is a time rather to sing with the heart and the lips and leave our hands aside, because the noise and the commotion and all those things, we instead leave it there to Laodicea. And many say, no, is that they are returning back to Laodicea. But what they don't know is that they are the ones in Laodicea. But notice, since this is already algebra, they cannot understand these things that we understand. And that is why we thank God that we can understand all of that. And once we understand these things, that is already a superior wisdom. We are not like the little kids. Like, I tag you, you're it. Oh, tag you, you see? I don't know if you have played that. That is a little kid's game. And I tag you and it's your turn. And you're trying to look for a way too. And the dad in the middle trying to make them stop playing like that, because he didn't want to stay tagged. I don't know if you have played that here. And I tag you there, let's play tag. But we are not playing tag anymore. God is not playing anymore. Not at this time, nor has He ever played with His program. He never plays around. Remember when He said, we are not playing around, or God is not playing around. This is something serious. And that is why, when you see all of that, then we leave that behind, that perhaps at that time we were not mature. And God goes on removing all of that, even regarding what we answer and say. It's not good to continue with the give and take of things. Stay away from that. Don't follow along in that game, because you would be going down to Laodicea, and death lays there. So it is dangerous. It is better to stay locked inside where you don't hear any of that. And let them keep playing tag while we are above receiving that manna, the word, which is what matters to us. Because what we want is to be ready to leave here soon. Whoever wants to stay, well, keep playing tag. And I do not believe that you want to stay. I don't wish that to anyone. The Great Tribulation will be terrible, terrible, terrible. What I long for is that everyone to be raptured. That we all go to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And that the church bride escapes those judgments that will come, which will be very terrible, but very terrible. Because the noise and the commotion and all those things, we instead leave it to them in Laodicea. Well, regarding that, well, I had never told you anything about that. But now you, without me telling you, but that happened to us very rarely. In other words, notice we are humans, and after such a long time, sometimes it slips from us. But God sees our heart. He sees that we are sincere with Him and that we are doing it, perhaps, in a moment of joy and rejoicing. But you will notice God help us all the time. It is Him extending that mercy upon His bride. He who receives Elijah and Moses, he who receives their message, receives mercy. But I believe that we can put more interest and more heart into it when we are there without clapping our hands and without making too much noise, but singing from the depths of our heart with that pleasant and sweet attitude. See? Now, here in this message, which is this message, where he said that he is timid, shy. They sent it to me here, but they didn't put the subject of the message. From the message, possessing the enemy's gates, there is where he tells us this is on page 24. Now, Brother Branham says, now, be real reverent. Everybody, now just be real reverent. Keep quiet. See? The Holy Spirit is so timid. How many knows that? Just real timid. Holy Spirit, see? Just any little interruption bothers him. May God help us so that he is not bothered or grieved, because what we desire is to do things right. That's what the teaching is for, to learn, to be as he wants you and me to be. He's not seeking anything else. He just wants you to be like him. And we will get there. Because in order to achieve that transformation, it is because at that moment, you will look so much like him. They look so much like me that I'm going to transform them. It is the same thing now, what I am seeing in them. Now notice. He goes on to say here, in the message, the interveil, or rather, why are people so tossed about? Will we stop there on page 19? He says, the Holy Ghost comes in the quiet of the hour, because there is no movement there. There, and everything is quiet. You know, you go out of a morning real early. Now remember the seventh seal, when it was open, he says that there was silence in heaven, in which he says, there was no activity in heaven. Everything was silent. He says, if someone moved, they might reveal something. Where is that at? In the book of the seals. It was a, he says, deadly silence. In other words, not even a pin drop would be heard there. It was completely silent with the opening of this seventh seal in the book of truth. Let us turn to 541. Notice, the breaking of the seal was so great that heaven was hushed by it in silence for the space of half an hour. Now, is it great? What is it? It was hushed. Heavens, there wasn't a thing moved for a half hour. Now, a half hour might not be long if you're having a good time, making noise, doing something. But in the suspense of between death and life, it seemed like a millennium. He writes millennium on top, and to the right he writes suspense, and there to the left he draws a cornerstone and a star of David. On top he had written half hour as well. It was so great, Jesus never mentioned it. None of the rest of them. John couldn't even write of it. Nope, he was forbidden to write here, see? There is just a, he didn't write it, but this is silence. And the 24 elders that stood before God, they're harping with their harps. They quit playing their harps. And the angels hush their singing in heaven. Think, the 4 holy cherubims and seraphims that Isaiah saw it in the temple with 6 sets of 3 sets of wings. 3, 2 over his face and 2 over his feet and flying. And he's day and night there before God singing, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And even when they walked in or come into the temple, the post of the temple moved with their presence. And these holy seraphims hushed up. And he writes on the side, Revelation 15:1, 8:1-5. Angels quit singing. Phew. Flying in the presence of God, singing, Holy, holy, holy. They shut up. No angels singing. No praises. No altar service, no nothing. There was silence, hush, deadly silence in heaven for a half hour. All the host of heavens was silent for this half hour when this seventh seal mystery in the book of redemption was broke open. And to the left he draws a star of David, and to the right he writes half an hour, and he draws a cornerstone and the ages. Think of it, but it's broke. The Lamb breaks it. Do you know what? They were awed by it, I believe. See? Now, that reverential fear is what the church bride is receiving in this teaching, in which God is showing us how we should be. May that fear that there is in the seventh dimension come down and fill the people. The church bride. And he be pleased in every activity that we are gathered. May the Holy Spirit not be grieved, but rather may we learn and learn and learn how to know him. They didn't know. There it was. They just stopped. Why? What is it? Now, there is another place let us see where he says that if Satan knew something or if he could get a hold of something like that. On 5:42, let us see. On this paragraph, on page more or less around there, then the heavens couldn't write. A little bit before that, he says, but here is 7 straight thunders, right in a row, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. That perfect number, 7 thunders in a row, uttered, making just 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, straight, but without being understood. And he writes in another language. And a star of David to the left. Then heavens couldn't write that. Heavens can't know about it. Nothing else, because there is nothing to go on. It was a relaxing time. Notice here to the right upwards, he writes, Ruth resting. It was so great till it was kept secret from the angels. Now why? If Satan should get a hold of it, he might do great damage. Of course he would, because so many impersonators would arise. But since he doesn't know, he's not aware of it, then they start making up a lot of things. They even do damage with that, because people start to turn their sight away from the Holy Spirit incarnate. And since they are more eloquent, perhaps, or they know the message by memory and all of that, they get more attention. They mislead the people, those who allow themselves to be deceived. And that is without knowing, because if they know, notice, it was known in the first and second pool because Brother Branham spoke of it. And instead of them getting the people to look at Brother Branham, they started to bring, or let us say, to catch that fish that they were making into their own nets. In other words, diverting the attention of the people. And they did the same thing. And the sight of the people, which should have been on Brother Branham, was diverted. They started to look at those leaders when in each age and in each dispensation, God only has one leader and fellow ministers who carry that work, that labor, that pure word. Just as it is given in each age and in each dispensation. And notice in the time of Brother Branham, they had the blessing to record that message on tapes. No one could add to or take away from that. Also in our Brother William's time as well, and also at this time. That is why it's being recorded, written, so that no one can add to or take away from it. Now, many have started to make things up, because I felt led to do this, I felt led to do that, and started to lead the people astray, which may God have mercy of those people, especially of those ministers, who start to do things that are against the perfect will of God, doing things from a past dispensation. Now notice, there is a place where we're not going to read it. I brought it just in case, but let us read that part there about what the seal of God is, which is the Holy Spirit. Just a small part there, because I think that here is where this goes in the message of the patriarch Abraham. He tells us on page 4. He sees the same thing. The promise of God is the seal to those who are the seed of Abraham. The promise is a seal, a signed witness. And when we believe every promise word, then the seal is given to us. There, he writes the seal to the left. To confirm the promise by, see, if we, being the seed of Abraham, we go through the test whether we're going to believe the Bible or not. The Bible is the Word of God, because it is God. And then after you went through the test to believe. And on page 5 he says, and the promise that we receive, the seal, is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's right. For that is God in form of spirit. And to the left he writes, Revelation 7:2 and 11:3-7. You being his word in you. Then he comes in. If you receive the word in you, the Holy Spirit is the only thing that can make that live. And then you have the promise of possessing the gates of every enemy that tries to attack you. That's right. God promised it, and it's so. And to the left, he draws a Star of David, and he writes, the doors. And there, on the front, he writes, the seal of God, the Holy Spirit. When you believe the promised word, that is the evidence that you have at this end time. By believing the promised word. Now, on the other hand, look, in the message token, on page 31, it says, we're at the end time. I don't see nothing left. You say, what about the mark of the beast? those who reject the Holy Spirit is already marked by the beast. The punishment will come later, see? In other words, those that reject the Holy Spirit, then they are marked already. And to the left he writes, the mark of the beast. Notice how simple everything is being carried out, and how simple a person can receive the mark of the beast by rejecting the Holy Spirit. Now, he says, page 542, this is where I am, he says, if Satan should get a hold of it, he might do great damage. There is one thing he don't know. Now, he can interpret anything he wants to and impersonate any kind of gift. I hope you're learning. But he cannot know this. It's not even written in the Word. It's a total secret. The angels, everything shut up. If they made one move, it might give something away. So they just shut up. Quit harping. Everything stopped. Now, further on page 543 is where he tells us, where he says that if he keeps it in here, he says, because he can't get in there into the heart. He says, if Satan could get a hold of it, if you want something to happen, now, you have to take my word for this. If I'm planning on doing something, I know better than to tell anybody about it. Not that that person would tell it, but Satan will hear it, see? He can't get it in my heart there, as long as God has got it closed up with the Holy Spirit. So that's between me and God. In other words, when you have the knowledge and the revelation of what that third pool, that word is producing in you, and you understand and realize what you have, don't start talking or telling anyone how it works. That is a secret between you and God, or God and you. Don't do what Brother Branham did in the first and second pool. Whoever it might be, you stay quiet. Don't say anything. Work. Rather, use that sword for whatever the Holy Spirit through that leader orders you to do. But don't start explaining how it works. Because notice, the devil is an imitator. So that's between me and God, see? He don't know nothing about it until you speak it, then he hears it. I have tried. I tell people I'll do certain thing and watch the devil cut off every wheel he can to get there, see, to beat me to it. But if I get the revelation from God and just don't say nothing about it, then it's different. Now notice, all of this, so important, of which we are speaking here in the message Intervail, or rather, why are people so tossed about? Let us continue here where we stopped on page 19. It says, let us begin on that little paragraph again. The Holy Ghost comes in the quiet of the hour, and there he draws a cornerstone. The quiet of the hour, he circles it and underlines it. You know, you go out of a morning, real early when the dew is on the ground. Like this morning, it was fresh. In Calle, the fog is very noticeable there. Sometimes when we fly the drone, or we are in a higher place, on a mountain or on a road going somewhere, and we look toward the valley, you can see a sheet of fog. And it goes into the auditorium also. And you can see that sheet covering the whole valley. The dew falls just before daylight, usually, sometime in the night. After the hustle and bustle of the world is gone, is to bed, after everything is asleep. Did you ever go out early of a morning? And you go out early, you see how everything is so fresh, just real fresh, early of a morning. Why? The old earth has been hid away for a while, and it's refreshed. And he draws a cornerstone and the ages. And did you ever come in the presence of a man or a woman who had hid themselves away from the world? It's a refreshing to talk to them. They refresh themselves. They begin to come to life. And did you ever go into the rose garden early in the morning as, or up and down the highway here? And he writes, the King's Road. Now he asks the question here. Have you been on the highway here real early when the dew is on the ground and, oh, that odor of the honeysuckles and so forth, the locust blossoms? Did you ever? Being on that King's Road, we can now answer Brother Branham. Yes, Brother Branham, we know how it feels. We know what this glorious dawn of this new dispensation day feels like. Just like a Christian who had hid himself away with God in the stillness of the night or somewhere and come forth the next day with a refreshness, an older life, a pleasant place to be. Somebody you like to talk to, somebody that can encourage you, somebody you got confidence in, your neighbor over there, how you love to talk with her. See, that's the freshness, the odors. And the next thing is yield fruit. And everywhere the Holy Spirit comes, it always plants the seed of God and yields fruit. Another great thing of entering into this place, and he writes, most holy place. It is a place where you can have confidence. You can believe. Now, our brother William continues saying in this other message, the power of the Holy Spirit becoming incarnate and working in his church. The power of the Holy Spirit becoming incarnate and working in his church, preached on March 22, 2009 in Buena Vista, Minatitlan, Veracruz, Mexico. He says, just as we have seen throughout the biblical history, that manifestation of the Holy Spirit through veils of flesh and in the Old Testament, we can see there, let us go to see one, who is Moses. On page 125 of the Book of Quotations, paragraph 1110, he says, Moses was that living word to the people, veiled by the pillar of fire, speaking what was to be veiled later behind badger skins. See? Speaking what was to be veiled later behind badger skins. See? Moses had the word. There to the left he writes, the pillar of fire. Moses had the word. They were written by God. Nobody could interpret them. Moses had to impart them first. That's the reason he veiled his face. Because do you see it? See? Here it is. We could pick it, pack it up, and everything else there, but it's got to be revealed. In order to reveal, Moses had to become God to the people. He writes there on top of this paragraph, Moses first interpreted the word written on the tables. Moses first interpreted the word written on the tables. Moses first interpreted the word written on the tables. And there on the bottom as well, Moses. It's a little bit longer. You're going to have to place it there down at the bottom on the margin. Moses equals the word veiled, comma, alive, made flesh, fulfilled in flesh, to fulfill the divine promises. Moses equals the word veiled, comma, alive, made flesh, fulfilled in flesh, to fulfill the divine promises. To fulfill the divine promises requires a veil of flesh to speak them. Now, our brother William continues saying, through veils of flesh, and in the Old Testament, it culminated with the manifestation in human flesh in Jesus. For the last day, the manifestation of the Holy Spirit through veils of flesh will culminate in a veil of flesh through which He will work and bring to fulfillment all things that have been promised for His church for this end time. Now notice also here on page 125, paragraph 1111, it says, the promised word to this age must also be veiled. Now, we didn't finish there the previous paragraph, did we? We didn't finish the previous paragraph. Let us finish it. You were paying attention. Let's finish the previous paragraph. It says, below says, in order to reveal, Moses had to become God to the people. We paused there. Moses was the living word veiled then. The people? Moses was the living word veiled then. The people? Remember that. Since everything is marked, sometimes I skip the periods, and then I go back. But you understand. Sometimes I can't see the commas. The people saw that pillar of fire. There he writes, the pillar of fire. The people saw that pillar of fire, said, now we are satisfied, see? Let Moses speak, see? Don't let God speak, lest we die. Moses walked right into that pillar of fire, see? And there he writes on the top. It's kind of there. The dispensational message is fulfilled and is cut off right there. But he writes there in three sentences downward, there to the side, above that paragraph on 125, he writes, for the first dispensation equals Moses. There you have two in parentheses, for the, it will be for the second dispensation equals Jesus. And then he writes, Moses speaks as of speaking. Moses speaks, the third dispensation equals adopted. And in the third dispensation, he writes, equals a question mark and a space there. In other words, a name goes there. So that you can understand that little part there. Let us see. I don't know if you can do it here. Now notice. There it is. In other words, that would be revealed as it was revealed in the first coming of the Lord. The angel of the covenant coming in different veils of flesh, and then he was incarnate in the person of Jesus. And at this end time, notice there above, I left out the word, the word. But notice, there he places, Moses speaks. In other words, since the third pool is the spoken word, it must be, you can leave it there for a moment. Notice, Moses, since it is a prophet like Moses, in other words, a dispensational messenger. And it is an adopted ministry. Where? In the third dispensation, which is the seventh dispensation out of the last three. Now, a name that we all know goes there, because it has to be from the song they sang a few minutes ago, that I think our brother Jose Guillermo sang over there, the first song. Notice, it has to be a living messenger who is in the midst of the people, bringing them through the spoken word and that teaching under the tent, bringing them the rapturing faith. When they come, of course they will come. No, it's because when he comes, that's when he is going to give the rapturing faith. The people must already have it in order to see them. Don't wait for him to receive the rapturing faith then, because the moment of the fulfillment of what he says in the seals will take place. He says, but wasn't there supposed to be a rapture? But these judgments, what happened? There is where that great sadness will take place for those who were expecting it in certain way and they missed it. It will be in such and such a humble way, as Brother Branham says, that if we don't watch, you would overlook it. You would miss it. But many times the pride, and there's another word that is used. Pride covers it all. It covers all of that. They just don't give in. Because, first of all, if he's not an elect, he will not be able to see it. Now, if he is an elect, rest assured that he will get out of that. He will get out of that mess. Just like Brother Branham got out of the mess that had, in that vision there, trying to untangle the fishing line that got tangled up. And the angel said to him, don't let your line get tangled up in these kind of times. Don't let the things that God is doing get tangled up. And don't let yourself, with those human interpretations, stray away from the promises that God is carrying out and fulfilling at this time. But notice that the angel had mercy on Brother Branham and took him higher. Therefore, if there are an elect of God still tangled up, come out of that mess in the name of the Lord. Be delivered from whatever deception the enemy has you in. Now, let us finish here. We were on 1111, right? On page 125, it says, the promised word to this age. And there, he highlights all of that and an arrow on the right side. And he draws a cornerstone and the ages. In other words, notice how Brother Branham speaks there. And Brother William places it at the cornerstone, which is the time when that word would also have to be veiled. The promised word to this age must also be veiled. Notice, sin-loving church members and sinners cannot see it because of the human veil. That's the reason they couldn't see him. In the first coming, they couldn't see him fulfilling the promises of the coming of the Messiah in his first coming because of the veil. The veil prevented them. How can a simple carpenter come and say that he's the Messiah? He says, I am the bread that come down from heaven. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. Well, who does he think he is saying that? I am the light of the world. What? Do you mean I am the light of the world? What? You know, in other words, humanly? It can't be. Well, I know this guy. I know who his parents are. You're going to come to me with that story? Now anyone can believe on Jesus, but go back to that time to see if you would have believed in that or not. Well, notice, the same thing you're doing today, pointing the veil of flesh. How could it be him? I know his parents. And especially those that are there close by. More will be required of those. I know his parents. I know who he is. I know what he did. I know this. I know that. This is just getting started. Because those who know, notice, they knew a lot of things about Jesus. Then at the end, the one who went to get him and betray his master, Judas, took the whole group. And he arrived shamelessly with that face and kissed him. So, hypocrite as well to top it all off. But notice that everything that was shown back then and was carried out during the first coming of the Lord will be the same at this end time. He said so. It would be parallel in every way. Do you want to know what you would do if you were living in the time of Jesus? Well, look and see what you are doing at this time in the fulfillment of the coming of the Son of Man with his angels. And that is exactly what you would do at that time. Therefore, you are then fulfilling what it corresponds to you to fulfill. Everything is being fulfilled to the T. In terms of what you are to do at this time. Now, he continues to say there, and there on top he writes, on the paragraph there he writes, the word of this age must be veiled. The word of this age must be veiled. And on the bottom he writes, the veil prevents them from seeing the word in flesh. The veil prevents them from seeing the word in flesh. Now, he continues to say there, he says, and we will see it in the fulfillment of the tenth vision. Now, noticing the message, the Spirit of Truth, he tells us on page 6, he says, it may be my going home time. It looks very much that way. If it is, there will rise somebody after me. They'll take the message on. And he writes Revelation 10, 1 to 11. 11, 1 to 14. 7, 1 to 17. 14, 1. And 19 from 19 to 20. That is, notice that there he's showing us who is the one that would come after Brother Branham, which is the fifth Elijah, second Moses, and second Jesus. There is no fourth and a half Elijah, nor second and a half Moses, nor second and a half Jesus. In other words, the fulfillment of what the Reverend William Branham foreshadowed or foreran which is the coming of the Son of Man with his angels, is the ministry of Elijah in his fifth manifestation, the ministry of Moses in his second manifestation. And he said, if we want to count Jesus, well, it would be the third manifestation of Moses, because Jesus was a dispensational messenger. But notice, we leave it that way, he says. And the second manifestation of Jesus. There we have the formula for the second coming of the Lord. He'll be an odd person, but he'll rise after this and take the message on. And you listen to it. As long as it's scriptural, stay with it. There on the front he writes, another will come. He'll be very odd. For many people, perhaps the fulfillment of that prophecy will be odd. But to the elect of God, it will be something that they have been waiting for. Now notice, he also says in the message, taking sides with Jesus, on page 13, there's another message that it would be page 9. But on this one is page 15, it says, there's three things could happen to me. It's either the end of my road, this is Brother Branham, and let this other one come on. I've opened up the road for him to take over. Because remember, the one that comes to preach will be on the word. After John, between John and Jesus, there was a messenger there. And we have already identified him. When you identify those three characters or people there, and you identify them in this end time, then you comprehend and understand what God is doing and who he is doing it in. Because remember, the one that comes to preach will be on the word, restoring the faith of the children back to the fathers. It could be the end of my road. It could be that he's changing my ministry back into evangelism for overseas. Or it could be that he's not going to call me anymore for an evangelist, and he's taking me into the wilderness somewhere to anoint me. And there he writes, the Anointed One, to send me forth like the Promised One is to come, I think. And to the left he writes, the Promised One. And here he also writes, another will come, equals Christ will come in flesh. And on that other one, he also writes, the Promised One. And he also writes, the Anointed One. Now, he says that in the Book of the Seals. He says that he also saw that angel. And he says that it seemed... Let us see the word that he used there. In the Book of the Seals. On page 545... And did you notice that one angel, I said, in there was a strange angel. He was very strange. There, see how he brings together in that message and places that messenger that he would be very odd to the people. But he also saw that angel who was very strange. Now, on page... 500. Let us see here. Let us finish here. Because There he, where he says, and did you notice that one angel, I said, in there was a strange angel. He writes on top, Moses and Elijah. In other words, the one who has that ministry of Moses and Elijah, well, it was someone strange to him. And then he tells the people, he'll be an odd person. Now notice how he connects that angel that was different from the rest with the ministries of Moses and Elijah and with an instrument. He looked more to me than any of the rest of them. Do you remember that? They were in a constellation, three on the side and one on top. And the one right next to me here, counting from the left to the right, would have been the seventh angel. He was brighter, meant more to me than the rest of them. You remember? I said, he had his chest out like that and was flying eastward. In other words, eastward is to the east because it's the messenger to Israel. You remember? Like that. I said, he picked me up, lift me up. And there he writes, Moses lifted up Elijah. He also wrote above, the angel who had the seventh seal equals the angel of Jesus. Here it is, the one with the seventh seal. And he writes, Moses and Elijah have the second coming of Christ. That is the faithful and wise servant whom his Lord, when he comes, it says, shall find him so doing. And he also says that, I will give him the morning star. He says that he will make him ruler over all his goods. And he also says, I will give him to the overcomer, will give him the brighter morning star. And who's the star? Christ. In other words, he will give him the second coming of the Lord, it says there. And in that faithful and wise instrument, faithful and wise servant, is where God in this end time is fulfilling his coming. As simple as that. The thing that I've wondered all my life. And notice the question. He himself asked there and he writes it down. Who will be the man? See, because he knows that it's got to be a veil of flesh. Brother William writes, who will be the man in whom the second coming will be fulfilled? It is a question. But in that space there, we have given it a name. And now we can also say to our brother William, Dr. William Soto Santiago, we already know who that man is. Thank you for all the message that you left us, because we have already identified him. We have identified that man. We have identified the man who has turned on the light of a new dispensational day, of the dispensation of the kingdom. We have identified him and we have received him in our soul, in our heart. We have welcomed you, son of David, son of man, son of Abraham, and son of God, because all the titles are in him. Here it is, the one with the seventh seal, the thing that I've wondered all my life. Amen. Them other seals meant a lot to me, of course, but oh, you don't know what this has meant for one time in life. And there he writes, the second coming of the Lord. Now, our brother William continues to say here, through that manifestation, of what manifestation? Of that manifestation of the Lord in the fulfillment of the tenth vision. Through that manifestation, the fulfillment of the tenth vision will come. Now, that is why he said, in the words he spoke to us, on August 13, 2017, when you see that prophet messenger of the seventh seal, you will be seeing the coming of the Lord with Moses and Elijah, fulfilling the prophecies of the third pool in the vision of the great 10th cathedral. Well, he told us, you have already seen who built it. You have already seen who puts it in operation, and you have already seen who is carrying out the fulfillment of those prophecies. That is the seventh seal. That is the coming of the Lord with a new name. And then he says, and there you will see me again. Of course you will see him there again. The resurrection will take place under that movement, under that revival, where he says, watch the resurrection, how it moves. It is in the book of quotations. So, in that stage, in that revival which the church bride is receiving, is where the resurrection will take place. And there, we will see him again. Notice, that's how we will see him, young. I have the words here, and I have the photo of him here, because that is how I am going to see him. But by that time, we are and will be ready to receive them, to be able to see them, and thus for us to be transformed. And not only to see him in a young body, but to everyone who have departed from our time. I will see my dad. I may be some of your fathers who have passed away, or your mother, or a sibling or a child, a brethren from the congregation. We are going to see them again at that time. Of course we are, with those eternal and glorified bodies. And we are going to be transformed. We are going to obtain that eternal glorified body that he promised for each and every one of us. Now he continues to say, therefore, we will see the Holy Spirit in that veil of flesh working in the tenth vision, both for it to appear, in other words, for the construction. Here he also talks about the construction. That is for the construction as well as for the ministry that will be operated in the fulfillment of the tenth vision. That is why he wrote to us there in the message of the angel's commission, or the angel and his commission. He wrote there where he speaks about the little room. There, he left written for us where he said, I heard the familiar swishing sound made by the light that accompanies my ministry, and I saw it go from me to the little room. The angel of the Lord was still standing by me in the air. He said to me, I'll meet you in there. And I saw his hand point to the little room. He added, in other words, he kept talking, this is the third pool. I said, I don't understand this. He replied, in there, I will meet you. And he writes, it's the ministry of the Lord in his second coming. Therefore, what the elect of God are seeing at this end time is the ministry of the Lord in his second coming, as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and Son of David, in his claiming work. On page 124, paragraph 1103, because remember, he saw there the pillar of fire, speaking to someone. Now notice, he says, but in the last days he is supposed to return again. But a pillar of fire is supposed to come back again to manifest the Son of Man. Son of Man is a prophet's title. See, to show the word, the light. And he writes there, the light, on the right upward. The traditions will be wiped away. There is nothing going to bother it. It's going to be done anyhow. God just tears them denominations and traditions down. What kind of a spirit will he do it with? Like he did in the first place. Look what he done in the days of Elijah, in the days of John. Don't you think to say within yourselves you have Abraham to the Father? Because God is able of these stones to raise children to Abraham. See? Don't you think, because I belong to this and I belong to that. See? God tearing off the veil. See? To show who he is. And on the left he writes, the veil. And he writes on the right, on the top right, three lines he writes there. The pillar. And below that is there in the second line, of fire to manifest, in another line, the Son of Man today. The pillar of fire to manifest the Son of Man today. That is what he saw when he spoke of that small part there in the Book of the Seals on page 548, where he tells us there, I started crying, he said on that page. I started crying, and the line was tangled around me like this. And I was standing there crying with my head down like that. I said, God, oh, forgive me. I'm a stupid person, Lord. Don't forgive me. And I had this line. And that, what I had in my hand, was a little baby's shoe about that long. And I had that string was about a big around as my finger, about half an inch, like. And the eyelet in this shoe was just about the size of a little than 1/16, probably, of an inch in the eyelet. And I was trying to lace these little shoes up with this great big inch cord. A voice comes, said, you can't teach Pentecostal babies supernatural things. Said, now let them alone. And he drew the seventh H and an arrow towards the seventh H. He also drew a cornerstone above there. And just then he picked me up. He took me up and set me way up high to where a meeting was going on. Looked like a tent or a cathedral. There he writes to the left, the voice from the throne. It is the voice directly from God's throne. Looked like a tent or a cathedral of some sort. And I looked and there was a little box, like little place over in the side. And I seen that light. And he writes, the pillar of fire. And I seen that light was talking to somebody above me. That light that you see there on the picture is a cornerstone. The seventh age and an arrow like this as if it was there. And the arrow pointing up to the cornerstone. And above me, he draws a cornerstone by itself to the left. And he writes, to somebody above me. It whirled away from me like that and went over that tent and said, I'll meet you there, and said, this will be the third pool and you won't tell it to nobody. And in Sabino Canyon, he said, this is the third pool. And there's three great things that goes with it. And one unfolded today or yesterday. He writes, Moses and Elijah, the seventh seal. And another one unfolded today, and he writes, the seventh seal. And there's one thing, and he writes, the second coming of Christ. And there is one thing that I cannot interpret, because it is in an unknown language. And he writes, it is under the seven thunders. But I stand right there and look right straight at it. And this is the third pool coming up, and the Holy Spirit of God. What would come to the church? The Holy Spirit in that third pool. Now notice, here on page 444, on the Book of the Seals, he says, let us see where here. Let us begin He says, look here, let me show you something. See, did you know there is 10,000 of voices in this room right now? Literally, voices of people that's coming through the electronic waves of radio. Why don't you hear them? They're voices, that's right. They're waving right through here now. Well, there is people's form and bodies moving right through this room now. Is that right? Well, why don't you see them? See, they're here. Actual voices like my voice. Well, why don't you hear it? See, it's got to strike something first to reveal it. See, now you understand? Now, just don't interpret nothing. If God wants you to know anything, He'll send it to you. See? So just be real, real solid now. Hold still. Something has happened. And now just be real. You understand what I mean? Don't you? And just be, don't try to make yourself an odd to be a Christian. Because you take yourself away from God and you, if you can't understand it, this is the third pool. And he writes to the left, third pool. See? You should have caught that the other day, see? So then just remember there will be no impersonations like there was on the other two. See? So that's as far as you should know now. That's as far as they had to know. But for you, it's not only that far. You have already come to know what is within the most holy place. You have already come to know what the third pool is. Just remember that. You see now, there is something taking place in this room, and there is something here. There is actual in this room, angels, voice of God. If you can't hear the natural voice without somebody to send it out, how are you going to hear the spiritual voice? Now you might make believe that somebody is singing this certain song. They might not even be there, see? But when it actually strikes the crystal that's supposed to strike, then it gives a true interpretation and shows, vindicates it by showing the picture. See what I mean? Now, the Spirit of God, when it speaks through the true word, it vindicates itself to show itself. Look in today's message. There on page. Let us see where the page is. 17. I don't know if what page is, because I printed this on Puerto Rico. But it's where he says. He says, and it is for the time in which the church is completed. From age to age, he has been in the midst of his church, anointing the messenger of each age. For the last day in the age of the cornerstone, which will be the age of the most holy place of that spiritual temple, which is the church will be completed with the living stones who will form that age of the cornerstone, and the pillar of fire will come just as he came on those occasions, and will fill with his presence, with his glory, that spiritual temple in the age of the cornerstone, because there is where the Ark of the Covenant, the Word, Christ, comes to at the last day, who has come being brought from age to age by the messenger and his collaborators, ministers. And from age to age it has been carried on the shoulders of those messengers and ministers who stand with him hand in hand, working in the age that corresponds to them. From the seventh age, the Word, Christ, the angel of the covenant, the Word, goes on to the age of the cornerstone. And therefore the sword, which is the word that has been in the messengers from age to age, goes on to the one who is in the age of the cornerstone, elected by God, for God to manifest himself, for the Holy Spirit to manifest himself in that age, and to speak to the people everything that God tells him to speak to them. That will be Christ in Holy Spirit, speaking through a human instrument at the last day. Just as he did in each age through each messenger who corresponded to each age. As simple as that. It will be according to the divine vision. Everything is being fulfilled according to the divine vision. It has been a great privilege and a great blessing for me to be able to speak with you on this occasion. And in this study, of which Just a little more. We heard this from the last Sunday's message, because since we are talking about the one who would be in the construction and also in operation for the fulfillment of those prophecies. Well, let's see what Dr. William Soto Santiago told us. We watched the message last Sunday, Christ and His Church overcoming always. He says, the Reverend Jose Benjamin Perez has been doing a very important work, both in the spiritual realm with the Church of Puerto Rico, where he serves as minister, pastor, as well as in the part of the construction work that they are carrying out there. Now you can fill in the blank, because he was already telling us even about the name of that instrument. Therefore, for this reason, I say to all of you, it is important that we support this young man, Jose Benjamin Perez, who is doing a very important work along with the church that he pastors there, and with all the ministers and churches who have joined him, and the Church of Puerto Rico, to support that construction project of a great tent cathedral, which will be beneficial to all of Christianity, not only in Puerto Rico, but to all of Latin America and the Caribbean, and also to all nations. A worldwide ministry. He said that he will present himself, just as Jesus presented himself before that woman at the well. I am he that speaks with you. And on the occasions when he revealed himself in the time of the fulfillment of the first coming of the Lord, to whom he said, I am, there one-on-one, as a friend, as a companion, as a believer, on each occasion when he said, I am, at this end time, that represents the times that that instrument says to you, I am he that speaks with you at this end time. And I'm making known to you the mystery of the second coming of the Lord, the mystery of the seventh seal, the angel who was different from the rest, in the fulfillment of the prophecies of the third pool, of the tenth vision. I am he that speaks with you, elect of God, bride of God, who is hearing me on this occasion, because God is fulfilling everything according to the divine vision. And it is good, just like in the time of the dispensation of grace, we had, after people received the Lord in His first coming, and we had baptistries to baptize, that was under the dispensation of grace. We are in the dispensation of the kingdom. And you should have what was seen in the vision, in every place, wherever the activity is, a place like the one the Reverend William Branham saw, to his left from where he was, which would be to my right from where I am. just like in the dispensation of grace, we had baptistries, which that is now behind us. In the dispensation of the kingdom, those who can fit in their place, don't start doing small things to try to fulfill something if you did it. Don't do those things. I've told you that if it doesn't fit in the space, don't worry. There would be activities in places where you could go, or you can have the activities where you can have them with the measurements pretty close to the ones that the Reverend William Branham saw. Because we all want for all of that to be fulfilled according to the divine vision. We cannot do something that is not according to the prophecies. So, may God continue to prepare the people and to help us all so that we may be both in our lives and in everything that we must have for the Lord, so that He may be pleased and may He be able to manifest Himself as He has promised it. Now we are in this stage, which is the most important one, which is the stage of the Word being spoken. But at any moment, those other faces will begin to intertwine. Therefore, we want to be ready, so that when that stage begins, we also receive the revealed Word as well as, because He said that I had finished preaching, so He was preaching. And in that moment, notice that the next stage that He saw had already intertwined. It will be according to the divine vision. Let us stand. And now leave with us on this occasion, under this subject, it will be according to the divine vision. It has been a great privilege for me, a great blessing, to be here in Honduras, beloved people of God, elected people of God. And may you continue preparing yourselves, your lives as well, as having everything right in each congregation, so that in this way, God also glorifies Himself and manifests Himself in your congregation. Well, it will be according to the divine vision. I live with us, our beloved, dear, beloved brother and friend, Dr. William Soto Santiago.